reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. I knew their plot because the Lord informed me. At that time, you, O Lord, showed me their doings. Yet I, like a thrusting lamb led to the slaughter, had not realized that they were hatching plots against me. Let us destroy the tree and its figure. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, so that his name will be spoken no more. But you, O Lord of hosts, O just judge, searcher of mind and hearts, let me witness the vengeance you take on them. For to you I have entrusted my cause. Verbum Domini. O Lord my God, in you I take refuge. O Lord my God, in you I take refuge. Save me from all my pursuers and rescue me, lest I become like the lion's prey, to be torn to pieces with no one to rescue me. Do me justice, O Lord, because I am just, and because of the innocence that is mine. Let the malice of the wicked come to an end, but sustain the just, O searcher of heart and soul, O just God.
O Lord, O my God, in you I take refuge.
A shield before me is God, who saves the upright of heart. A just judge is God, a God who punishes day by day.
O Lord, O my God, in you I take
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Ioannem.
Some in the crowd who heard these words of Jesus said, "This is truly the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But others said, "The Christ will not come from Galilee, will he? Does not Scripture say that the Christ will be of David's family and come from Bethlehem, the village where David lived?" So a division occurred in the crowd because of him. Some of them even wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. So the crowds went to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, "Why did you not bring him?" The guards answered, "Never before has anyone spoken like this man." So the Pharisees answered them, "Have you also been deceived? Have any of the authorities or the Pharisees believed in him?" But this crowd, which does not know the law, is accursed. Nicodemus, one of their members, who had come to him earlier, said to them, "Does our law condemn a man before it first hears him and finds out what he is doing?" They answered and said to him, "You are not from Galilee also, are you? Look and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." Then each went to his own house.
Verbum Domini.
O Lord, my God, in you I take refuge. The psalm response as we enter into Passiontide tomorrow, close to Holy Week, 1 week before Holy Week. It's almost 30 days into Lent, so we've all had a time to pray, to fast, to give alms, to practice works of charity, to enter into the life of Jesus. Remember, it started on the first Sunday of Lent with the Lord being cast into the desert, where he was tempted. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So we, in this time of Lent, we enter into the life of Jesus. And more specifically, we enter in these last couple of weeks of Lent into his closer to his passion. We're beginning to touch the pulse. You know, when we go to the doctor takes our pulse to see if we're alive still, what's going on. But this is the pulse of the Christian life, really the pulse of the church, the Paschal mystery. And it's clear that from here on, the opposition of Jesus is first and foremost, is front and center. And the closer that we get to the passion, the clearer the opposition to Jesus. The psalmist stands in the face of false judgment and hardened hearts. Psalm 7 is a plea for justice and for God to reveal himself as the just one. The Lord Jesus is the just one. He's the innocent one. He's the immaculate victim who takes on our guilty sentence upon himself to rescue us from the snares of the evil one. He's the one who takes it all on himself, each one of us. Something to meditate upon entering into Holy Week, that we are the guilty ones before God. Jesus is the just one, the immaculate one, who takes upon himself our burdens, our sins. The prophet Isaiah says, and we'll hear this on Good Friday in longer form, "But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though harshly treated, he submitted and did not open his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep silent before shearers. He did not open his mouth. Seized and condemned, he was taken away. Who would have thought more of his destiny? For he was cut off from the land of the living, struck for the sins of the people. he was given a grave among the wicked, a burial place with evildoers, though he had done no wrong, nor was deceit found in his mouth. But it was the Lord's wish and will to crush him with pain. By making his life a reparation offering, he shall see his offspring, shall lengthen his days, and the Lord's will shall be accomplished through him. Because of his anguish, he shall see the light. Because of his knowledge, he shall be content. My servant, the just one, shall justify the many. Their iniquity he will bear. The prophet Isaiah, we see constantly the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus is the fulfillment of every prophecy. And further, therefore, I will give him his portion among the many, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty, because he surrendered himself to death and was counted among the transgressors, bore the sins of many, and interceded for transgressors. Even in the face of false condemnation, the Lord Jesus is merciful. And his desire to save and to free us from bondage, to free us from sin, to free us from darkness, to free us from slavery. He is the light. Easter is all about light. Begins in darkness. And then one light is lit and one light is brought into the church. And then that light is dispersed. Easter is meant to bring light. And really, Lent is too. Lent is meant to cast the light of Jesus into our minds, into our hearts. A commentary says on Psalm 7 that Psalm 7 isn't just about smite the wicked. It's more like something like this. Lord, see the truth, protect the innocent, and give the wicked a chance to turn back. Give them a chance, Lord. We pray that when we pray the Psalms, always. Give the wicked a chance to turn away from their sins. God is waiting for us to turn back. He's patient. But we can reject his patience and be hard of heart. Like the crowd, like the chief priests and the Pharisees in the gospel. And perhaps the heart of Lent is that God waits for us to return to him. Like the parable of the prodigal son. That father who constantly waits for his son. Remember in the parable, when the son is approaching the father isn't just waiting on the porch, waiting for him to come up and kneel down before his son and to say, I'm sorry, Dad, I blew it. What is the father doing? The father is running toward his son. Running. Not just waiting on the porch, but he's running toward his son, he's running toward you, and he's willing to make excuses for his son. He's willing to slaughter the fattened calf, go get the best ring, put everything out, a banquet. He wants to put a banquet before us. That's how much the Father desires our reconciliation, our freedom, our refuge is in him. Last Friday through Sunday, there was a Jubilee year event in Rome for the Missionaries of Mercy. And I might add that this year is the Jubilee year, 2025, is the Jubilee year of hope in the church. to pray for hope, to place our hope and our refuge and our trust in God alone. One of the things we start out with each day is our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's a great prayer to pray. Our help is in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Last weekend, there was a Jubilee Year event for the Missionaries of Mercy in Rome. And during the extraordinary Jubilee Year of Mercy, Pope Francis decided to commission and send out Jubilee Year of Mercy missionaries, Missionaries of Mercy. And these are the Pope's own words about them that he said back in 2016. They will be a sign of the Church's maternal solicitude for the people of God, enabling them to enter the profound richness of this mystery so fundamental in the faith. There will be priests to whom I will grant the authority to pardon even those sins reserved to the Holy See, so that the breadth of their mandate as confessors will be even clearer. They will be, above all, living signs of the Father's readiness to welcome those in search of his pardon. They will be missionaries of mercy because they will be facilitators of a truly human encounter, a source of liberation, rich with responsibility for overcoming obstacles and taking up the new life of baptism again. They will be led in their mission by the words of the apostle, "For God has consigned all men to disobedience, that he may have mercy upon all." It's been a privilege to have been chosen 9 years ago by Pope Francis to be counted among these missionaries of mercy. And our mandate was scheduled to end when Pope Francis closed the Jubilee door in 2016 on the Solemnity of Christ the King. And the day after the end of the Jubilee, Pope Francis, by his own initiative, decided to extend and confirm our ministry as missionaries of mercy indefinitely or until other provisions are made. The number of missionaries of mercy in the world has been extended to over 1,500 around the globe, and there's 100 in the United States, missionaries of mercy. And since being commissioned by Pope Francis in 2016, we've been called over to Rome 3 times since then to meet with him directly. And I was unable to attend last week, but I followed from a distance. And I wanted to share with you some words that Pope Francis said to us who were missionaries of mercy. God, infinitely great in love, who calls everyone to conversion and renews us always with his forgiveness. Conversion and forgiveness are the two gentle touches with which the Lord dries every tear from our eyes. They are the hands with which the Church embraces us, sinners. They are the feet on which we walk in our earthly pilgrimage. He says, "I encourage you, therefore, in your ministry as confessors, to be attentive in listening, ready to welcome, constant in accompanying those who wish to renew their own lives and return to the Lord. Indeed, with his mercy, God transforms us inwardly. He changes our heart. The Lord's forgiveness is the source of hope, because we can always count on him in every situation. God himself made himself man to reveal to the world that he never abandons us." It's the meaning of the incarnation. God himself became man that he would never abandon us. And surely he was speaking to those of us who were commissioned as missionaries of mercy. But this is really, in reality, every priest. Every priest is called to to wait, to listen, to accompany. But it's primarily Jesus himself in the confessional who waits, who listens, who accompanies. And you might say that the priest lends his ear to Christ. That's one of the things that was told to us about 4 or 5 years ago during our meetings with the Pope, is that in a way in the confessional, that in a sacramental way, the priest lends his ear to the risen Christ. And that the penitent puts their sins into the ear, and Christ hears. It's Christ who listens. I think that's helpful to keep in mind when we prepare to go to confession. That yes, there's a priest on the other side, but it's primarily Jesus who's listening. It's primarily Jesus who is the one who is there waiting, welcoming. And maybe it's been a while since you've been to confession. Maybe it's been maybe just a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but maybe it's been years. Maybe it's been 5, 10, 15, 20, 40, 60, 70 more years. It's should no longer be an obstacle. Just come back. And Jesus is waiting. Just imagine that your life would end today. And what is it in your life that you need to dump completely in order to embrace God completely? That might be a good prompt as you go to confession. It's to just dump everything. Put it all out before the Lord in his eyes, in his heart, and he is waiting.